This is the Draft Prospect Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
We're the 29th pick.
The New England Patriots like.
Now here to preview the prospect are the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Doesn't seem all that long ago that we were talking about the likes of Chandler Jones, Dante Hightower, Alphonso Dennard, and the like. Guys who eventually got drafted by the Patriots. And here we are again, Paul Perillo and Andy Hart, alongside me, Eric Scalavino, for another Draft Prospect Review Podcast 2013. The NFL Draft just days away, literally. We can say that now that it's April 1st. And no fooling, Paul. It's Draft Prospect Review time again. We're going to start off this...
Just open it with all his eight material.
That's right. Just so you that's know. Right. That's, well, what, I was that's all I got for you.
I was waiting for you to say, well, it's always days away. It's just a matter of how many days.
That was the A material. Stay tuned another 20 minutes for the B and C.
That's really about it. That's all we've got. But no, we're going to start off with a position that, as we've said for many years now, is not really a need because they have Tom Brady, but still quarterback, the backup position, kind of unsettled. Teams reportedly interested in potentially trading for Ryan Mallett, the current backup. They only had two quarterbacks all of last year. They got away with it again. Why is that funny? It's true.
You have such tone.
There was no tone there.
Yes, you're right.
How come you don't make fun of like the 10 other teams that only
because we
two
don't cover the 10 other teams that have two quarterbacks. We only cover this one. This is the only one that matters.
You make it sound like they're recklessly going about their business.
So, are there any of these guys that are draft eligible this year?
They're all draft eligible. Yes.
That I have a lot
that we think are. You know, the Patriots only have 5 picks.
Correct.
A 1, a 2, a 3, and 2 7s as it stands on April 1st. So what do you think? Is quarterback a position that could maybe surprise people in either the early rounds or one of those 2 7th round picks?
Yeah, I'd be very surprised if it was anything other than a 7th round pick. I just, with some of the needs they have and it being a questionable quarterback class as it is, I just don't see them using a top 3 pick on the quarterback position. Now, maybe somebody falls really, you know, into the 7th and they say, this is a guy we want to develop. But I think it's a long shot that they would take a quarterback.
And if they did, let's just say for sake of argument, that they decide, all right, we've got a guy here on the board that we think is capable of maybe taking over when Tom Brady decides that it's all over. Is there anybody that you've seen on this list so far? We've got Geno Smith, Matt Barkley, Mike Glennon from NC State, Tyler Wilson, any of those names or any other names that you've watched so far that you think, you know what, they might this guy might fit?
Well, this is a dumb thing to say, but I think Matt Barkley would make a fine backup quarterback. I think he's a heady guy, leader, very experienced in a pro-style offense. You know, playing at USC is, you know, one of the jobs that's as close to you as you can get to being an NFL quarterback in a lot of ways. I think that's what he may end up being, is sort of a journeyman guy and a backup. I took some heat because I called him a poor man's Andrew Luck on Twitter, but I think that's what he is. He has the head and the refinement of everything that he's kind of been bred, you know, up the ladder to be what he is. I just don't think he's that good. I don't think he has the arm strength. I don't think overall he's that good a talent. So, yes, a guy who very well could go in the first round, I think, would make a fine backup quarterback for the Patriots.
I would agree with Andy overall. There just aren't a lot of quarterbacks in this class, and I think at all levels. The big-time guys in this class, I think, are thoroughly unimpressive in terms of, overall when you look at the quarterbacks in the league. And part of that might be because we're coming off of what was one
really
of the
good
best
quarterback,
right.
Quarterback classes really ever. But, you know, you got to go back quite a ways to top Luck, Griffin, and you got to throw Russell Wilson in there now,
sure.
Too, based on what he did as a rookie. The one guy, and I agree with Andy about Barkley as well, I do think that he has some qualities, just physically I'm not sure he has it, but he has some mental qualities that could – it could allow him to make a living in the NFL.
It sounds
for
like
a while.
Both of you guys, I remember last year, the name Kirk Cousins was brought up a lot, and
yeah,
a lot of the same analysis, where he was, you know, from a program that likes to throw the ball, he's mentally got what it takes to play at that level, but you guys didn't think he was physically able to do it. Obviously, he proved that he can at least
Kirk Cousins can
hold
play
down a job in the NFL, and when necessary, come in and maybe win some games for you.
But the one difference I would say with Barkley is I have some questions about a little bit of his leadership. And, you know, there were some issues there. Now, I wouldn't want to be a captain or quarterback on a Lane Kiffin team. I think that's, you know, a captain who, you know, captain of the Titanic right there. Mm. But, you know, they had some issues, fights in the locker room, and he claims there were never any problems. And, you know, you don't know those things unless you're in the locker room and behind closed doors. But leadership-wise, you know, Cousins, you know, even Brian Hoyer, those are guys you really can't find a bad word about them from people that played with them or coached them. I'm not sure Barkley's quite on that perfect pedestal as a leader.
Yeah, and I would say out of these top-end guys, the guys that are first, second-round picks, and there's a good amount of them, you know, Geno Smith, and interesting that just recently we found out that the Pro Football Weekly draft guide is out, and Nolan Naraki lists him as his sixth.
I believe that's what it was. I haven't seen the full list,
best.
But yeah.
So I was a little surprised by that. Geno Smith, I think, has some physical ability, and it's going to be interesting to see how they use him. And, you know, we talked a lot about how, you know, the success of Wilson and Griffin last year in the pistol, and Colin Kaepernick and some other guys doing some of these things in non-conventional NFL formations might lend itself to a guy like Geno Smith. But out of these top two rounds, the one guy that I liked the most from a physical standpoint and in the college career really didn't match what I saw, you know, at times when I watched him succeed, is E.J. Manuel from Florida State. I think that physically he's got great size, great athleticism, a big arm, but the production wasn't always there. And he's at Florida State, so it's not like he's not surrounded by blue-chip players. You know, it's not a Jay Cutler situation at Vanderbilt where you could tell you know, he didn't have guys that were at his level around him. He did. Emmanuel's career.
What was the problem in your estimation?
Just a lack of consistency. I don't think that he was able to put it together. I think at times you watch him and he looked really, I think in particular he lacked consistency when games were on the line.
So
I think
he's the ultimate tease.
Is it the opposite of Matt Barkley? He's got the physical tools but not the head for it?
Yeah, the head, the heart, the intangible, whatever that it is. I don't think he has it, the consistency. I just think he's going to end up being a tease. I agree with you.
Yeah.
He looks like he
looks
should be good.
Looks the part.
But he isn't. He's not really that good.
And Tyler Wilson, by the way, very similar, and not necessarily in style, but another guy who played three great quarters and sort of unraveled in the fourth quarter often, would throw a big interception at Arkansas, and then it really bottomed out for them last year.
Well, yeah, that's the problem there.
And they were just a terrible team last year.
I feel like all these guys are the same.
There's something about every one of them that's bad.
Yeah, and, you know, even, you know, I said, you know, Barkley's a poor man's Luck. Well, I think Geno Smith, you could say, is a poor man's RG3. Now, the question is, does that help him? Because Luck came in and was so successful so quickly, do people say, okay, this is where the quarterback position in the NFL is going? Or does it hurt him because people say, well, he's not as good. You know, we just had one that shows you what you really should be at that spot, and he's not that. Now, the other question with him is, you know, he put up some ridiculous numbers early last year.
Really tailed off.
And then kind of tailed off. What's that all about? You know, and not having watched every game for West Virginia, I don't know the answer to all that. But, you know, if you just went to his stat sheet, you'd say, yeah, I get it. I'm going to draft him. I mean, whatever, 4,200 yards and 70-something completion percentage and, you know, 40 touchdowns, single-digit type interceptions. That's all ridiculous. I don't think he's nearly as good as his numbers would lead you to believe.
And you wonder, you know, they switched leagues last year. West Virginia went into the Big 12, and you wonder if maybe they caught a bunch of teams by surprise early
on. Plus, everybody throws there.
And then, you know, they sort of started watching film on them. The other teams were on the league, and they saw defenses that they were familiar with and how they couldn't handle it early, and all of a sudden it changed. So you wonder if maybe a little bit of a lack of familiarity had something to do with the huge start that West Virginia had.
There was a name that was brought up a lot, that maybe to the surprise of some toward the end of the season there when it came to ranking the top five, and that was Ryan Nassib from Syracuse, a guy who's head coach there is now in the division here with the Patriots.
Yeah, a lot of people think that's where he's going.
And that's, again, the assumption that, you know, the familiarity will lead to his being drafted maybe higher than he should be because he knows and is familiar with Doug Marrone and his system now in Buffalo. What did you guys see from him, sort of a wild card among this mix of top tier, in quotes,
prospects? Yeah, I put him in the group of these, you know, first and second round guys. He definitely has talent. He's got pretty good size, not huge, but pretty solid size, a good arm, lacks consistency. You watch him sometimes and you get to see Syracuse a good amount around here because they're on a lot. And then you'd see periods of time where Syracuse couldn't move the ball. And you're watching him, like Andy said, Andy started watching some of the wide receivers and Tyler Bray, the kid from Tennessee. All of a sudden, he started watching some of the Tennessee wide receivers, and they're catching passes on their back hip and, you know, on the wrong shoulder. And that's, I think, what Nassib is. You know, occasionally, I think he just loses his accuracy. But there's ability with all of these guys. I just don't know if there's consistency with any of them.
The two things I noticed with him is I liked his progressions. He was an NFL type through his progressions. The one thing I didn't like is he seemed to really feel the pressure. Anytime there was pressure, he accelerated those progressions and seemed to be frazzled by it. And obviously the pressure is only going to increase in the NFL. There's going to be more progressions and more pressure. So, you know, those two things coming together, I don't know where he is. And Paul said he's not ideal height. You know, he's like 6'2 rather than the 6'4. But I would certainly put him in there as a guy. Yeah, he could go to camp and he could win a backup job. But, I mean, I literally don't know if there is a legitimate starting quarterback in this class. Or I'm very doubtful. I'm pretty sure there isn't a franchise quarterback. There is not a guy in this list who you say that guy's going to start for 10 years for X team. I just don't think it's going to happen. You may have some guys that, you know, start 3 years here and then move on and start another 4 years here. Mm-hmm. You know, we're seeing it now, this, you know, today with Matt Flynn and Carson Palmer and guys bouncing around. But, I mean, are there Lux and Wilsons and RG3s in this class? I personally don't think so.
And I think that's the difference between this year's class and last year was that there might have been some debate about guys like Russell Wilson you know, we mentioned Kirk Cousins before, but there was no doubt that those guys were experienced enough and capable enough to, you know, if push came to shove, they would have to start in the NFL.
And they were also the second tier. They were the guys, are they worthy of a late first? Should I trade into the end of the first round?
Right.
Because a Luck is already gone, or a RG3 or a Tannehill, or those guys that have been top 10 type talents. This year, it's almost like, are these guys going to even go in the first?
Right.
You know, is Geno Smith, you know, the Chiefs are interested in him. Are they? I don't really have any idea.
We'll see.
If Nolan Naraki knows what he's talking about, and he's well-respected in the scouting industry. I mean, Bill Belichick has said some positive things about him. Well, then, no, he's not going number one overall. He's not going until the third or fourth round. And, you know, same thing with Matt Barkley, coming off a shoulder injury, coming off a down year with an already questionable arm. You know, maybe he's a guy that doesn't even go in the first round. Could we see an entire first round without a quarterback?
Yeah.
And, you know, that's to me, it's not about who's going to trade into the end of the first round or scoop the guy early in the second. It's how low could a couple of these guys slip if they, you know, don't go in the first round.
I think that's going to be the intrigue of the first round of a quarterback is, you know, is this the year? Because if you are able to, the teams that obviously are most in need of quarterbacks are the ones that draft the highest, generally speaking.
Right.
And if you look at it and say, like Andy just explained, if you're Kansas City, I mean, hell no, I'm not going to take one of these guys that I'm not even sure is a first-round pick. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to take him at number three overall.
Well, that's so the conventional thinking. So but then you're one of these teams, and then you start panicking.
Well, that's
what
I'm saying. So if you get by that, say, top five, seven, eight teams, and now you're into the steady stream of the next 15, really don't need a quarterback. You either have a quarterback that you really like, or you just drafted a young one, like Ryan Tannehill, for example, who you think is going to be the guy. You're not going to take a quarterback, and now all of a sudden you get to the end of the first round, and it's a matter of do those teams at the top of the second round panic and think that someone's going to trade up? Because now Geno Smith might make perfect sense with the third pick of the second round. So if you're sitting there, do you have to trade into the end of the first round with, say, the Patriots, to get back to our original point here.
Right.
And maybe that's where you can, if you're New England, you can make hay, because you can get someone to maybe give you a little something more than they want to because there's a quarterback available. And I think that's going to be one of the fascinating elements of the first round.
Okay, so let's assume that the Patriots aren't going to take a quarterback with picks 1, 2, or 3, and maybe they even trade out of one of those spots and move down, get something in the middle rounds where they currently are lacking, or even go into the seventh round with their couple picks that they have. Give me some names of guys you saw on tape that you thought might be worth taking in middle to later rounds in this draft.
Well, one guy I have, and it's Landry Jones. I think he's the type of guy, you know, formerly a sort of a well-thought-of prospect, the guy who took over,
Oklahoma,
obviously, for Sam Bradford. And his stock is really falling to the point where, you know, he's a third, fourth round pick. I could see the Patriots saying, this guy has the tools of an NFL quarterback. You know, things weren't perfect there, the system, blah, 6'4",
220.
Yeah, I mean, what you need. He doesn't have a great arm, but neither does Sam Bradford. You know, I could see them talking
neither
themselves
Neither did Tom Brady
him.
Coming out of
That's
Michigan.
That's true. And the other guy, I think, and I believe this guy has been linked to the Patriots in some sort of a workout, was Tool out of Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
I believe I saw they either had a private workout
or a visit
with him.
I didn't know about the workout,
him.
But he was decent.
Athletic. You know, he's a guy that had injuries that kind of hurt him. But you look at his feet, his touch on the ball, he has some things for you to like. And from what I've seen, you know, he's a potential seventh-round pick. So he would be right in their wheelhouse as a developmental backup type.
And they did pretty well the last time they drafted a Washington State quarterback. No, Paul?
Yeah, worked out all right.
Yeah, he held the spot until we got a real one.
God's sakes. Another seventh-round guy that I'll throw in there just the way I did for Brian Lowe on Patriots Today when we started doing our video analysis of these draft picks. Ryan Griffin from Tulane. Again, like Andy said, late seventh-round guy, maybe even a free agent. Did a lot of work out of the shotgun in the spread with Tulane. You know, he decent size at 6'4". I thought he really throws well on the move, running. You know, he can run. Had a decent arm, I thought. Would look pretty accurate. And I just think as
kind of slight of build, though, no?
Yeah, as a seventh-round guy, I thought, you know, might be worth. I would be surprised to bring it full circle
like
if they take a quarterback.
I don't like listen, to like quarterbacks.
And I also, you know, let's remember, you know, much to, you know, despite Eric's complete and total disdain for the Patriots, you know, willingness
two quarterbacks
to go with two quarterbacks, they do have Mike Kafka,
right,
who they had worked out early in the year and certainly had him on the ready.
And
had,
was a third-round pick?
Had they needed him.
For the Eagles?
That sounds...
And I think Mike Reese reported that the Patriots were close to signing him at points during the season, chose not to and got away with it, to use Eric's terminology. He immediately signed after the end of the season to a futures contract. So he will be in camp. He might be the guy,
mm-hmm.
You know, that sort of young developmental backup quarterback.
Let's all be honest.
Listen, Andy, a lot of
if
people,
Brady
I agree
isn't
with
the
you,
quarterback, then it doesn't matter.
Matter.
Who
I
is.
Totally yeah. agree with you, but a lot of people in this town are completely infatuated with backup quarterbacks.
Why?
I
when
don't
did it
know.
Ever matter?
I don't know.
I mean, except for Cassie's here. But no, like, I mean.
Or Brady's
but
here.
See, that, you know, it's Flutie. It's Rohan
see,
Davey.
You,
it's
you,
Cliff Kingsbury.
But you prove the
cares?
Point to me. You say, when did it ever matter? Except for in the Castle year. Well, you can't get a better job done by your backup quarterback.
Yeah.
And you see that if you don't have Brady, you're not a playoff team.
Right. Even when you have a soft schedule.
Matt Castle played exceptionally well in 2008. They went 11-5. It wasn't enough to make the playoffs. That's what happens when you lose your quarterback. And when you have a quarterback that's elite. And Tom Brady certainly is elite.
All right, before we wrap this up, I'm going to put both of you guys on the spot. Give me a percentage that Ryan Mallett is traded.
Zero.
On or before draft weekend.
Zero.
I'm going to say zero as well.
Zero. Okay, so he'll be coming back to
compete. I have baseball cards that I would love to sell, but no one wants to buy them.
I see what you did there.
Even though my mom reported that, you know, someone wanted to buy them.
All right, so
you
he's
get through that. You know
he's going to come back and compete with Mike Kafka then.
Yes,
In the mini camps.
See if they can get by with two quarterbacks.
Well, we'll see. I mean, it's a risky proposition, guys.
No, I know. They got away with it.
They did.
Not
they got away with it again.
Who's only missed one season, one injury.
All right, our first of numerous draft prospect review podcasts to come in the days ahead. Stay tuned. We'll be back later this week with another one.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.